Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm asking for an audience, Liz.
Oh, okay.
Two-parter.
Uh-huh.
Are you good at flirting?
No.
Pause for laughter there. And do you enjoy it, or do you prefer just getting straight to the point? No, like fun and games on the outside.
Oh no, like you've got to do a bit of the flirting, gosh, my biggest problem is that I don't notice when people are flirting with me.
Ding, ding, ding.
Occasionally I don't realise when I'm flirting, so I flirt a little bit too close to the sun and things get a little bit awkward.
You get a bit too carried away, too ambitious.
I mean, I've had instances recently where I didn't realise I was flirting, but then I told somebody else what I said and she was like, oh my God, Liz, even I got a bit like, woo, about that. And I was like, oh shit, damn it, I've led somebody on and I didn't mean to. But so, yes, I think flirting is part of, I consider flirting a little bit of foreplay, really. Like, you've got to have a little bit of, like, you know, verbal titillation to get yourself going.
Missing the point that, or completely missing that someone is flirting with you seems to be a common fucking occurrence. I think, are we too subtle with our messages and flirting? Are we too, or?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are we just too stupid?
I'm guilty of it myself. I have had a chat with someone recently who was like, oh my God, I'm such a flirt. And I was like, really? Because I have had a real hard time figuring out whether you're flirting or not over the last couple of weeks. Like, it's those kinds of things where people think they're putting themselves out there, but it's like when you're an actor, you always need to be louder than you think you are.
Yes, that's right. You can always deliver 10% more.
Don't use corny lines unless you were someone who likes comedians.
Yes, that's true. There's many facets to the old flirting. If you have low self-esteem, you'll probably assume that no one's flirting with me. How could they be flirting with me? So
my maybe flirting a bit usually of that as involves well. Self-deprecation. So
yep,
it's not real healthy. Welcome to Ghost of Boyfriends Past. I'm Liz Best.
I'm Tom Harris. Hello, everybody.
It is a main episode today, which means that we have a guest.
Yes,
and I'm very excited about this guest. I met this lovely lady at the Bumble lunch that I have mentioned on air before. She is fabulous. She is Sam. She goes by Curvy Sam on all of the socials. Sam, welcome.
Come on down. Hello.
Thanks for having me in your beautiful podcasting room. This is so professional.
Oh, thanks.
Welcome.
We love our little
studio.
Look, thank you so much for coming on. Why we wanted to get Sam on, and we'll get her to tell you a little bit about herself, is that she was telling me all about the fabulous communities that she has created around dating while plus size, and just about body positivity and loving yourself and feeling really fucking good about the vessel that you are in. So Sam, give us a little bit of a rundown on who you are, what you do, what your philosophy is, and all that jazz.
Anything you want to plug off the top as well.
Oh, well, how long have we got?
Plug away.
Go on.
Well, hi, I'm Curvy Sam. Everyone knows me as Curvy Sam. So on every platform, and I started off I had some heartbreak. I was with someone for 7 years and I decided to move to a tropical island and be a wedding coordinator.
Oh.
Because that's what you do. But you know what? There I lived in a really isolated space. It was on Hayman Island. And I was a part of an online community that existed at the time. And I started a blog. And that blog actually enabled me to travel worldwide. And I'm all about encouraging women to live their best lives, to live authentically, to show up, to not hide away and be like, oh, I need to lose 10 kilos before I go to this wedding. It's just about just being yourself and knowing that we all deserve love. And so I show people my fabulous outfits. I take them on the behind the scenes journey of life with me. I kind of call everyone that you guys are my virtual BFFs.
Like, I kind of love that.
best friends forever, because you're never alone with the struggles you go through. And sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's sad, but I love how social media connects us all. And I run an organization called Curvy AU. So we've been around for 6 years. Mm-hmm. It's for women and non-binary, and we host body positive events all over Australia and pool parties and hikes and things that you would actually feel ashamed or embarrassed to do. Some people would feel mm-hmm. ashamed, and we just put it in a safe space and be like, hey, we're all here together, let's do this.
So that's the message to someone who's never done an event with you guys before or anything like it, thought about it. What's the message to them? Just there's people at this fun.
Yeah.
There's people that you will, like-minded people.
Exactly. Everyone likes community. Different flavors.
Yeah.
So there is a flavor out there for you. There's a flavor out there for me.
Everyone deserves love.
Absolutely.
That's saying something, because I'm usually very anti-love and romance. So I'm agreeing wholeheartedly that everybody, no matter their shape, size, unless they're a serial killer, they deserve love.
I don't know. I feel like serial killers get love in prison.
Even then, the serial killers get a huge disproportionate amount of love and attention from the world.
Middle-aged white women of the world.
We can't stop writing letters to them, falling at the... Oh, I know he murdered 6 people, but he's so handsome. What the hell is going on?
But he's got his own house, so...
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God, the bar is so low. Help.
It is shatteringly low. Well, on this episode, on this show, generally we have someone in to tell a story about love, dating, romance, etc., marriage gone by. Every now and then we sort of branch off to the side and get an expert in. Yes, ooh, you're an expert.
Just look at me. I'm like, am I
To help cover orbiting issues in the world of love, dating, romance. And I think along our journey, Elizabeth, something you two mentioned just before is a huge lesson that we've already learned, that someone like, I'm a lanky, gangly kind of built guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like a tiny percent of the female population finds this they love it.
They've
right?
got a tiny
they
percent.
They have to have it.
10% at least.
Three. Like, when you stop and seriously do the maths and the numbers.
The funny lanky guy, that's 3%. Like on trend right now. 3%. Come on.
3%. So my point being, someone in you think that you have all these problems and issues that you don't like, but someone out there will see your shit and go, damn.
Yep.
I'm gonna have a better than that. So that's a good reminder, I think, for everybody. You're not gonna win over everyone's hearts and minds and attention, right?
What's the name of that character from that show? And he's like, giggity, giggity.
Glenn Quagmire.
From Family right. Guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I get him in my head where I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, giggity.
So into the hands of the expert, I think.
So look, first of all, we'll just run through the rules. So any stories that you're going to tell today, we need an alias
please.
Because we like to – we're not about doxing on this show. We're about what we learn.
Absolutely.
And what we can learn from people's stories. The other one is, if you figure out who Sam's talking about, don't be a dick. That's our don't be a dick. Don't be an armchair Columbo detective about it. We don't want you spreading around, because that's not the spirit of this podcast. The spirit of this podcast is sharing, learning, growing, kumbaya and all that shit. And the last rule that we have is no threats on mic.
Yes.
There's no one specific that we invented that rule for, but I just got really worried that someone might be like, that asshole, rah, 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 I'll come and get you. So even when I'm the guest on the episode, they still have to say,
everyone gets the same
no
rules.
Threats.
Done.
So tell us some stories of dating times gone by where you've specifically, I guess, not had to deal with being plus size, but either, you know, come up against people who were bastards about it or had some really amazing experience. And how do you put yourself out there and feel so fabulous while doing it? Because that's hard.
Gosh, I don't even know where to start. I mean, it's always a journey. And I have to note that I'm practicing a little bit of self-care at the moment and not dating.
I support wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I have tapped out. I picked a date and I was like, I'm done. But mm-hmm. obviously I have funny stories to share. Mm-hmm. And gosh, you know, I want people to show up authentically, because me as a plus size person, what you're getting when you see my profile, obviously it's going to say something funny. It's full body photos, not edited. Like, I'm showing up as myself, and I want other people to do the same. And I went on a date once with someone, and you can kind of tell by camera quality these days for, you know, what type of filter they've used. You're like, right, that was an Instagram filter 10 years ago. That was taken with an iPhone 5, you know.
Right.
The grainy images. So I went on a date once with a person, And he turned up and he was at least 20 kilos heavier and maybe 5 to 10 years older.
Oh.
Than what he thought.
Okay.
What he presented himself as. And do you know what? I turn up authentically and show up as myself. And I feel like these days you have to vet people. Like I'm now a Snapchat girly. Like I want to see, we're going to chat on Snapchat via video first.
Okay.
Yeah. Before I get out of my pajamas to come meet you.
That is a good point. I haven't thought about that before because I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to put on makeup and do all this, you know, if it's not worth it.
Because you don't share phone numbers because phone numbers are linked to absolutely everything these days. Okay. I don't want to share, like, Kirby Sam. Yes. So very much like Snapchat, Snapchat is my fuckboy mentality. Like, yeah, Snapchat it is.
Okay, great.
Just so I can be more comfortable with who they are. And I literally just have a burner Snapchat with a silly name. But I show up as, like, me and I talk to them and I'm like, hey, let's go have a drink. But yeah, so now I do that. But in the past, showing up with people are just either married or just not who they say they are. It's just really disheartening. But to loop into one of the funnier stories, embrace yourselves.
I'm right, embraced. Everybody. Both hands on the table.
Readers at home, you've been warned.
And look, knuckles cracked.
We talked about the 3% in the world that identify with, you know, loving the bones out of you. I accidentally went on a date with a feeder.
Oh,
right.
Now, five times.
Do we want
accidentally five times? Accidentally five times.
Now, there mayhaps will be readers at home who don't know what a feeder is. Do we want to explain?
I want to hear you say what it is.
Well, a feeder in a feeder feedee relationship, right? Because there would have to be, there has to be two, right?
Yes.
At least a minimum of two.
We're making you explain everything from now
and
on.
And the feeder, right? Uh-huh. Children, class.
Yes.
I need a blackboard and diagrams. Well, the relationship, it's based on one partner feeding the other partner, and the other
they
partner.
They get off on it, don't they?
Yeah, like
they
really. There's arousal.
There's a sexual element to it on feeding someone to both partners.
A lot of food, usually.
Now, I'm going to set the scene for you.
Okay.
For a couple of years in a row, every Christmas, I would go to stay with my family in England. Mm-hmm. And they're busy working. I'd hang out with my great-grandma, would have the best jolly time, but I'd be swiping on the old Tinderoo because I was in a village in a remote area of the UK and I was getting pretty sick of my family.
And also,
every year,
you're on holidays, so you can just like nope out of that situation and go back home.
Exactly. And I didn't have a car, so I couldn't exactly get around and, you know, do all that. So on Tinder, matched with this person. Let's call him Jim.
Okay, Jim.
Okay, Jim.
So Jim and I were chatting and I was having a night out with my cousins and we met up at a bar. I said to my cousins, like, hey, I'm just going to like go have a drink with this guy. Catch you soon, right? Mm-hmm. He met me at a bar and he had already ordered pizza. And he kind of played it off. So I sat down at this table and he's like, do you want a drink? And he's like, oh, I just thought you might be hungry. I've ordered some food.
Uh-huh.
This is 9:30 at night.
Okay. I just thought you might want a little late night pizza snack.
And yes. I'd already had a few beverages. So I was like, fuck yeah, pizza.
Yeah. I mean, who says no to pizza? Yep. Let's be honest. Yep.
So, yep, I obviously had a little bit of pizza. And I kind of vetted that he was kind of seemed all right. It was, you know, handsome. Then we made plans to catch up another time. So we caught up another time and we went on an adventure to a castle. And he packed a picnic. Loved that.
And picnic.
Honestly, best date ever. Yeah. We went for a walk. We had a picnic. He packed a lot of food. And then halfway through, he took me to a pub. And we were just having a drink and he came back and he's like, oh, I've just ordered us some meals. Didn't know what you like, so I ordered all sorts. And I was like... And you know what? In this economy, with the pound to the dollar, I was like...
The rat. What it is.
So, yeah, and at that stage, you know, we were opening up, we were hanging out, you know. I told him about the Kirby Sam life.
Okay.
From there, it got a little weird.
Uh-oh.
Because he researched me.
What, like in front of you or like between dates?
Between dates.
Okay.
And then every now and again, he'd kind of feed me these things, be like, oh, because obviously like I had a website and like a blog where I wrote stuff and I wrote stuff about what I like to do or I had video blogs or, you know, a long time ago. And then I never really clicked that he'd researched me so much that he was kind of trying to be appealing. They're like, oh, I've done this. And I'm like, oh my God, I've done that too.
Oh.
Yes, right.
It's like an association thing to get me to like him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it worked.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I've told my cousins about you and they already follow you. And oh my gosh, I'm like dating a model. And obviously, like, I do a bit of modeling, but I don't want anyone to know I'm a model because most of the time I look like a potato.
So you can't set those expectations that high when they meet you straight away, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And we had a couple of other catch ups where it was like, oh, I happened to be here and he happened to be there. I was like, oh, well, let's grab lunch. So everything revolved around food,
right?
Which everybody eats. So I just didn't really click into it.
Everybody eats, but everyone doesn't eat one of every meal at a pub after you've just gone on a massive picnic.
It must take a while to cotton on because generally a lot of dates center around feeding or food of some description, a meal. So yeah,
And like I'm plus size, clearly I eat, so we're good. I also like to note that he had your physique.
The poor bastard.
Right.
Just freshly exhumed.
So one of our dates, it kind of got to the point where I'm like, oh, I've got needs. I really need a night away.
Yep.
So we booked a hotel.
Great.
And it was literally one of those hotels in a suburb, and there happened to be a 1950s reunion of something or other, so there were busloads of oldies.
Oh.
Great. Fantastic.
Okay.
And I was like,
sexy.
It was fun. They were dancing in the lobby area, and we were like sitting, obviously having some drinks and getting a bit tipsy at the bar, and we were talking about old times. And I wanted to like stay in that space and just keep talking to the oldies. Anyway, we got back to the bedroom, and he went, how graphic are we on this?
No, go on, come on. Yeah,
or no holds barred.
All right. So, you know, you kind of like when people talk themselves up a little bit in the bedroom.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be a good time.
Okay.
He was like, oh, yeah, no, I really know what I like. I know how to handle things. Went to Pound Town and it was not a good time.
Oh, that's really – I feel like when someone has to talk up their abilities that much, like it's never going – in my experience, anyone who's ever said that they're good at sex has not been good at sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost blanket.
Yeah, well, like it wasn't just – I got the ick.
Yeah.
Much. I kind of got the ick and I was like, well, we're in a hotel room for the night and this, we're just going to sleep it off and watch movies or whatever.
Great.
So the next day at buffet breakfast, this is where it gets juicy.
Yes,
okay.
Very good.
You know, buffet breakfast.
Okay.
Love a buffet. Serve myself a plate of food. And then he kind of toddles off and brings me back a second plate of food.
Okay.
And I didn't even eat half of my food that I got, which wasn't even much. And he kind of pushed my plate out of the way and put a fresh one. And he said, I'd really like to see you eat this. And I was like,
sitting in a restaurant with other people around you and you get told that.
The oldies.
Oh. And I was like, what? And then I looked down, just happened to, I like dropped my napkin or something to the left. And then he had a raging boner.
Oh my god.
A raging boner. That says everybody.
Yep. At breakfast.
Breakfast.
Yeah. And and then it just clicked.
Everything all of the montage of all of the picnic and pub meals and this and that.
There was a montage. God. And I'm like, oh god. Ugh. Everything has involved food. And then he saw me see his, you know, excitement. And I said to him, I'm like, is that why you always give me food? Is that a thing? And he's like, yeah, it's a thing. Can you eat it, please? And I was like, fuck no, I'm full.
No, I don't eat anymore.
Yes. I was like, I'm trying
that
to
means
go
no, bitch.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going the opposite way. This is why we're going exercising and hiking and stuff because, you know, we're not trying not to be bigger. So I asked him to drive me home. I was like, okay, it's time to go.
Oh, man, I would have been getting an Uber.
Yeah.
Okay, also... Yeah. The British pound to the dollar.
Oh, true. Yep. Okay, yep. Cost of living. We got it.
And right, I think it was back in the time. So where, I mean, Wi-Fi wasn't that readily available. We didn't have roaming. So I used a lot of Wi-Fi when we were in places.
True. I did forget that you were overseas.
Yeah. So, and then that's kind of where, he dropped me off. And I made him drop me off around the corner. And, but he continued to kind of stalk and be like, and put, you know, like, I've told my family about you and really and look, I'm not here to kink shame.
No.
We all have our things.
We don't yuck people's yum.
But there was just something about the side of it that it just gave me a bit of the ick. And then I think if it happened right now, I'd be like, yeah, in this economy, absolutely feed me every time. Like, what, 6 o'clock every
but
night,
but it's
let's
a
do
showing
this.
Up authentically thing like you were talking about, right? It's the fact that it's
And having someone's kink to like sort of placed on you, like
placed on you. The image that I just got there of having someone's kink placed on you is not my favorite thing.
At the breakfast table instead of introduced.
At the breakfast table, yeah. And look, as bigger women, as big people are sexually fetishized. So, you know, the dating experience is like, yeah, girl, got big booty, or I'd like to do this, to that. And it's just like me existing on a dating like site and having photos showing up there like, you know, you thick and you this and can I fit you? Like, you get the weird and the wonderful. And I speak about these experiences with my friends, my straight size friends, and they don't experience that. Obviously, they get like sexually approached, you know.
Yeah.
Because hookup culture is a part of dating. But
being fetishized is a completely different thing. It's dehumanizing.
Yeah, it didn't make me feel that great, but you know, it makes for a really good story, especially at the dinner table.
Yeah,
I was like, is anyone aroused right now? Like in a group setting, and I know them. You know, who's excited? Who wants to buy me food? I'm poor this week. Yeah, it's a good time.
So did you tell any of your family that you were staying with what happened?
I can't even remember. I told my cousins and everything. I'm like, because obviously you check in with people. Like I checked in. My cousins are all my age. So, you know, we check in. And I think I even said, even like I was in my late 20s. Actually, no, I think I was in my 30s. No, I was in my 30s, definitely. I think I just said to my family, I'm like, oh, I'm staying at blah, blah's house tonight. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just wanted a night away, and obviously I got a night away, but definitely wasn't what I thought it was
going
out to be. And I don't even remember his name, but he was just – he's in my books as Feeder.
Yeah, absolutely.
An apt name.
But, like, even if it wasn't the Feeder aspect of it all, like, I – obviously we've been doing this podcast for about 4 years, and before this I used to be a relationship columnist. If someone had Googled me and was, like – quoting back things that I'd said online as a kind of a lure almost. That's creepy.
It's grooming. I felt like I was groomed and it was just a number of things that led up to be like, nope, get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I am done.
And the boner over bacon was just the last straw.
Yeah. Yes. It's breakfast and boners and
Not at the breakfast table. And the thing is, again, and I think we can probably go into what we've learned about this particular story, is that it's all about showing up. And if he had have told you that that was a fetish from the start and given you the opportunity to consent to whether that's something that you wanted to participate in or not.
Consent. Yeah, that's...
Like, that's huge for anybody. Like, you need to give somebody all of the information so that they can make an informed decision about whether they want to spend time with you. Basically what he did is basically, you know, answering the door naked and then being like, what, why are you not just into this? You know, there's no opportunity to say no.
If you had your time over again, Sam, would you bring it up in that car ride home, do you think? Or is it just one of those things where you're like, I'm going to cut this contact, will be cut, and I'll never have to deal with this behavior ever again?
Yeah, I would want to know from the start. I mean, I think it was a combination of things, the fact that he researched me so heavily and just had me on this pedestal, and I'm like, I'm just Sam. Like, I'm just Sam from Australia, you know? And like, would he have behaved differently not knowing who I was in the media or, you know, what space I held, how many followers I had and all of that, you know? I think maybe...
Altogether, possibly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think there's probably is a tendency that to take public-facing people like you two out of it, just general day-to-day people. There's probably situations where someone works with someone and knows nothing about them but like two things, but then uses those two things, adopts those two things.
Yeah,
I know your name is Stacy and you like hiking, so I'm just gonna focus on the hiking and pretend like I don't know about hiking. So it is
which is normal to do that. Yeah, like, it's a point of interest, like a conversation, but. He had, like, in the course of conversations told me, oh, this video you did here, that was really cool. And then, like, you know, you almost had an ip slip at 6 minutes and seconds.
That's absolutely
weird.
Not.
That's and it's weird. Not the first time that that's happened to me. I've had a lot of people research and try and groom me from watching, because I mean, my life has been online for 12 years. Mm. And now I am pulling back and I'm going in a different direction.
I applaud that, and I applaud you taking space for a bit of self-care and kind of, it's very difficult to be in the public eye for that long. But is there any way that the researching could be considered like, So I'm not trying to justify it because I personally, we've very famously refused to Google dates on this podcast.
Yep, I don't do it either.
I will not, absolutely will not do it. But do you think that maybe some of them could have had the intention or misguided intention that that by looking into your interests, they were doing a good thing and trying to relate to you?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's like a normal human connection. Like you want to relate to people. Yeah. It's common interests that bring us together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a little bit more mindful now. And obviously being like fetishized, anyone who has a predisposition to liking bigger bodies, you know, there's been a number of times where I've gone on dates with people and they've dated my followers. I've had people reach out to me from the past who I've dated them on and off. And then I'll have like a random Instagram message come through and be like, oh yeah, I'm here with Jack. He told me you guys used to hang out. Is that true? Like, do I believe him or not? And I'm like, fuck off, Jack. Stop using me for clout. Like, I bang Kirby Sam.
He's like, oh my God, yes.
But then I had this fear of, obviously I'm in Brisbane. It's a small, it's 2 seconds of, 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if someone likes a plus size body, it means they have dated someone else who's in the plus size industry or like in the same similar space as me. And there's been a couple of times I've shared my dating stories online because obviously I actually hosted a Sex in the City style dating TikTok, brought people along on the dates. And I changed all the details, like jobs, super things, like, and people would reach out to me and say, like in the comment section, and be like, is that Bob? I don't know why I chose the name Bob. That's like not a sexy name. Is it James? We're changing it to James.
No, my ex is James. That's bad. Let's go back to Bob.
Okay, Bob. Anyway, back to Bob. And I'd be like, that's not Bob. And then other people would message me like, yeah, that's totally Bob. And then anyway, Bob would message me saying, hey, I found your TikToks. People are sending it to me. And I'm like, how?
I know.
How
honestly,
is this world like connecting
this
like that?
This is why we have the don't be a dick rule. Like if you figure out who someone's talking about, that's not what this is about at all.
Yeah. It's yeah, Bob. And do you know, my latest date was in Melbourne. Am I telling too many stories?
No. We love it. Please. Keep going.
That's what you're here for.
I'm going to close off one of my dating stories with my latest one.
Great.
So we decided to meet up in the city. And
is this a Tinder, a Bumble, a Hinge, a Mimble?
A Mimble?
What's a Mimble?
Go and get it. I don't know.
It was from a dating app and I had seen photos of him and we had chatted on Snapchat. But I've been burnt before with people not showing their teeth. But then I kind of...
Yes.
Yeah. There's a prominent person in Brisbane who has a very big fat fetish and he has rotted teeth and he has a very high profile job, drives a nice car, has all the good things, lives a good life, but dental decay is a big thing. And obviously, you know, everyone's in different situations with their health and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I've obviously had like a really terrible situation. And so I went on a date with Mike. Mike and I met up at a bar. We were sitting probably a little bit closer than what we're sitting now. So probably say a meter and a half.
Little cafe table size.
Yeah. And he'd showered. He'd gone to gym. He washed his car. But his breath smelled so bad.
Oh.
And I was actually sitting across from him. And, you know, we'd chatted on Snapchat. I'd like seen the tips of his teeth. And then he did this like toothy big grin. And his teeth were green.
Oh.
Fully green.
Oh.
Green and yellow. And I could smell a decay or something from across the table. And we all have our things. It's not even about having nice, perfect, straight teeth because, like, who does these days? Especially in your 30s, right? But turns out he hasn't brushed his teeth in 3 years.
Now, look, how many days could it possibly be in 3 years, all right? It's only over 1,000 days that this man's gone without brushing
his
teeth.
3 years.
Okay, so, like,
I don't know
I'm
what
all,
the
like,
fuss is about.
Explain my face right now. Explain my face.
Excited shock is
what
I
holy.
There's excitedness.
Fuck you guys.
It.
Yeah.
I'm all for, like, not shaming something about physical appearance, especially if they can't help it. Exactly. But I'm sorry, you can help
brushing
your teeth.
Is choice. And he was jacked. He
but it
had
affects
muscles.
Your health as well. Like dental health affects your overall health, which is why government, it should be part of friggin' Medicare. God damn it.
Yeah, it should.
All right, I'm off my high horse about that. But
the stench.
How did you find out that he hadn't? Did he tell you?
Look, I'm not proud of this.
Okay.
You sound a little proud. A little. A little proud. You sound a little proud.
And I would like to add. that this was the climax of my dating career. This is when I was like, I am fucking done.
Yeah.
I am done. Also, because I had sat in the car and did a TikTok being like, I'm so excited to meet him. Like, it's, you know, it was just like a quick date. I'm like, this has happened really fast. You know, we've only spoken for a day. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm free. You're free. I'm free. Let's do this. Right. Yeah. So he got me a lemon lime bitters because it's my go-to. It's mm-hmm. how you get to my mm-hmm. heart. So I got there and he's like, do you want a drink? I'm here before you. I was like, yeah, lemon lime bitters. Sat down and I tell you what, I wanted to drink that lemon lime bitters so fast. And I had a chat to him and I was like, hey, look, like you've presented yourself and I think you're really nice, but like, are you okay with your, I said, but actually I've spoken about this. It's in my profile. It is in my profile. It says oral hygiene is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
It is one. And like, there's not, I don't say a lot on my profile. And he's like, he kind of, I didn't want to make him feel embarrassed. But so I just had to say something. I just asked him. I was like, what's going on? What's going on with this?
I actually think, like, I'm the type of person who will be like, you've got something in your teeth, you've smudged your thingo. Mm. Like, I sometimes some people, I said to someone that they had terrible breath before and they're like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I don't know if I would tell someone that.
You've got to say it kindly.
Exactly. I mean,
or ask the question.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been on a date and someone said, you know, you're bigger than I thought you were going to be. And I'm like, righto.
Yeah.
But you just move on from that. But I was just, I'd felt fucked around. I was at my limit where I'm like, I am done. Why can't people just be who they say they are? And I was like, so you went to gym before you saw me. And I'm like, when was the last time you brushed your teeth? And he's like, oh, I actually like haven't for 3 years. And I'm like, are you getting therapy? Like, are you good? Like, are you all right?
Are you okay?
Like, do you have the support networks around you to make sure, like, I was like, because, you know, I had said to him, I was like, look, your oral hygiene, your health, it's connected to like your heart, your cardiovascular. Like,
absolutely.
It's really important. And I'd said to him, look, I was really straight with you and said in my profile that oral hygiene was really important to me and you've turned up with green teeth. So I'm going to go. And I like chugged my drink and left.
Yeah, because you're not leaving that drink behind.
And I felt like the biggest cunt. I felt, and I spoke about it online. I spoke about it and I'm like, I said something and I said it in a nice way and like in a caring way. And I just said, hey, actually, look, nice to meet you, but this is not going to happen. And then I'm like, am I being judgy because people go through different stages of their lives? But and then I'm like, no, well, I specifically said that it is important to me.
It was a boundary that you'd set.
It's a boundary. Yeah,
and
you're right.
Someone stepped over that boundary. And also, you know, like if it's with teeth, it can be difficult because teeth are expensive,
exactly.
Right? But the one thing that is not expensive is buying a toothbrush and using some toothpaste.
And he had a Porsche at the front.
Yeah, and I was like, so, and you said that he had a job and a Porsche.
Yeah.
And like you can afford a tube of toothpaste
that. And he was wearing designer clothes. He had gone to gym, like he had nice car keys. And then I actually saw him get into the car and drive off. So it wasn't just like a wanky thing. And so that was the end of my dating. I was like, that we are closing the book. This is just a chapter after
really
chapter
valid
of disaster.
Reason. That is a valid reason to close that book. I have closed the book for less.
Mm-hmm.
And, absolutely.
You know, I wish we could take away the visual side of dating and just, you know, be
connect
matched with people.
To souls.
Connect
like,
to souls,
like... uncharacteristically mushy from me, but like sometimes sometimes it's just, you know, you find a person who's how do I say this, like soul or aura or like
and you love who you love, like
but
then with the green teeth, I just, it was my second but green it would teeth be, experience and I was like, nah,
that when you are using your teeth when you're making out with someone, sort of like you, like your mouth would be on that mouth, and so you are putting your own health at risk with
and
stuff
think,
like that.
I think it would be more unfair to go after someone's teeth or hygiene or whatever out of the blue. You're having a friendly lunch with someone and you go,
and
your
you
teeth
go
put something there.
Yeah.
But if on your dating profile that they've read, and I on my profile it says absolutely no French people. But you rock up on my first date speaking French. I probably have a
let me just
right...
point out, he has no profile, he has a girlfriend, and he's fine with French people, just in case anyone hasn't listened to this podcast before.
Yes, I forget that not everyone...
Sorry, Grandma, I'm part French.
Not everyone is an adoring long-time listener, I forget.
No.
Does Grandma listen to this?
No, but I wish she would. Yes, I actually think it'd give her a bit of a jolt. I think she'd like
a highlight of her week.
But surely you're allowed to say, hang on my thing that you read, there's information here
I set
that
a
you
boundary,
didn't adhere to.
Like,
So yeah, probably uncomfortable, but probably fair in the end.
All right. So what I think we'll do, because I have a feeling that you have amazing stories to tell, and I have a couple of other questions that I was planning on asking you, but I think we'll wrap it up there, and I'm going to tell you that you have an open invitation to come back you would like.
Whenever you want.
Thanks. I live walking distance, so this is very handy.
Fantastic. But let's go through just what we've learned in general. So first of all, Sam, what are one or two things that you've learned from both of the stories that you've brought to us today?
I feel like even though I'm a super confident person, I feel like from the opposite sex, there's still people out there who don't authentically want to show up as themselves. Mm-hmm. They're living in a past version of themselves. So I guess, you know, sometimes dealing with the opposite sex, you're like, oh, no, they've got it together, it's going to be fine. But like, no, people are people, and we all have our things that we deal with and that we haven't moved past.
Yeah.
Me, I'm not perfect either. I would actually really like to disclose that I'm not the most perfect person at communicating, and there's probably things that I can improve on. And I try and do everything with kindness, but learning to be kind and be a little bit more open-minded. And I'm very targeted with my questions now. I'm very straight up, and obviously I'm vetting people through like Snapchat. Like, I need to see them heartily laugh. Like, I wish there was like a scratch and sniff, you know, like situation. Like, breathe into it. Let me smell you.
Yeah. Well, although that there was a freaky dating show at one point where they let you smell a bunch of t-shirts and you got to decide who you wanted.
The pheromones.
The pheromones thing. Because pheromones, you know, bad breath pheromones. I don't know. Sometimes you smell someone, you're just like, damn. Like, absolutely. Absolutely. Tom, what have you learned today?
Take that point and stretch it a little further. There seems to be, not just from Sam and her stories today, there seems to be a want and a need for just more honesty on dating profiles, right?
Yes.
And I think the general view is that you're competing with all these people and profiles on this little cube in someone's hand, right? Mm-hmm. You're competing with that face and that face and that face. But so everyone's sort of elevating and heightening and buffing their stats and making themselves look something else, better than what they are. Whereas more honesty will get probably end up in the long term harvesting and reaping some better results, right? Is that just me? Am I crazy for assuming
that? I'd like to add that I love the profiles that say, hey, I got a dad bod. Like, love that. Yes.
Love it. Yeah.
I don't want people like faking or putting up photos from the past with abs because, I mean, everyone's attracted to different things. I mean, there's a percentage of people who are rounder, and I think it's awesome. And there's actually profiles there saying, oh, these are photos of me, like I'm a big person, but I'm working hard on my fitness to lose weight. And I'm like, you don't need to say that on a dating app. Like, it doesn't matter what part of like the journey of your body that you're in. You can't say, oh yeah, I'm fat now, but just so you know, I'm working myself to be smaller. So it's not a vibe. I like the people who are just like, I got a dad bod, I'm a great cuddler. They're like, yes.
Amazing. Amazing. My big thing that I've learned, and it's a lesson that I continue to learn over and over again, is that if people don't show up authentically from the start, how fucking exhausting is it going to be if you actually end up liking them and having to be non-authentic for the entire time?
Yes. Exactly. It's just why everyone is burning out from dating sites. I went on a singles picnic recently and that was fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't anyone I really wanted to connect with again, but I am now prioritizing real life experiences, connecting with people, whether I'm going to try speed dating. Maybe I should come back after our speed date.
Yeah. I'll come with you. I'm interested in trying speed dating.
Yep. Roving reporters. Yep. Table side.
Rather than the superficialness and the exchange and the transaction of just swiping and judging. Like, I'd rather.
It's like gambling, right? It's like pokies. You're addicted to the swipe. And then you don't cash out because you're constantly swiping for the next
lose
bigger,
all your
better
money.
Jackpot. Yeah.
And
you're poor.
I get an instinct of, or a feeling of, there's always someone else. There's always someone else behind.
Exactly.
I can swipe left or right. There'll always be another
illusion of choice.
So I don't have to like this. But there are 9 out of 10. Mm. Next, I'm only here for tens. Where are they? Next, not good enough. Where it's like,
just
no, you're
not
just
right.
You're just blitzing through 100 profiles in 20 minutes. You know?
Yeah. And the one other lesson I really want to drive home is that if you don't give people all of the information up front, then they cannot consent to what you're putting out there. You need to make sure that if there is something that you enjoy, like I'm not saying turn up to a date and be like, by the way, I'm really into leathers, whips and chains, but you can't bring out a whip and chain on somebody unless you've had that conversation.
Surprise
about
whip.
It. Yeah. Surprise whips, like the previous episode, surprise sex fans, never a good idea. Yes. Like, absolutely not. You need to let people, you need to trust that people will make the right decisions for them. And if you tell them something about yourself that they don't like, then you've just done yourself the favor of clearing out somebody who's not your match and you will find somebody else.
It's just a numbers game, isn't it?
Pretty much. I'm not good at maths, so that's why I stopped dating.
Me either. Do you know when people are like, oh, there's plenty of fish in the ocean? You're like, have you seen the ocean? It's like munted.
It's full of trash. Yeah. It's actually, what's actually on track in the next, I think, 2 or 3 years to have more pieces of trash in it than fish.
There you go.
Yeah. Documentaries. Love them. Now, Sam, what I want to do from here is you told us about a wonderful little initiative or business venture that you are setting off on soon. Yes. And I want you to talk about it because I love the shit out of it.
Oh, I have goosebumps. So I am launching a size inclusive, non-gender specific range of bathrobes and sleep dresses. And with the goal of actually mid-year launching plus size towels.
Yes.
So towels that people can wrap around their bodies. Now, my robes will wrap around your body. It's called Hilda's. So when I said I went to England and I used to hang out with my great-grandma, that's Hilda. Mm-hmm.
Bless.
Oh, cute. Hilds.
Very love cute. It.
So my brand is athomewithhilda.com.au, but known as Hilda's, but, you know, couldn't get that domain. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I'm launching size 8 to size 34.
That is fantastic.
I've measured 1,000 people's arms. You know, I have made sure that I have a really big community. I'm like, put surveys out. And so I've got robes that are reversible.
Yes.
I have sleep dresses that are breastfeeding friendly. They're kind of ones you can sleep in and then just get up and take the kids to school and just, you know. Or if you're feeling a bit nervous about showing your body, you can literally like pop your titties out and then, you know, ride your friend or,
just like unclip and there we go.
How graphic are we getting? Anyway, whatever person you choose to interact with, you can kind of like cover up your tummy and you can be comfortable. And it's something you can put on next to your bed and just pop it on So it's all about being at home with Hilda and wearing a beautiful robes. And I'm launching this Sunday, I think 5 o'clock is going to be the time. I'm still working out the tech.
It will definitely be this Sunday because we release on Thursday. So if you're sitting there on Thursday being like, oh my God, I love this, Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday is the day. It's the first Sunday in April and it's at homewithhilda.com.au. I'm actually doing a pre-release. So if you sign up to my e-newsletter, you're going to get access before everyone else. And I 100% know I'm going to sell
it. There you go. The robe is such a perfect, if not for you, such a perfect gift for someone else. Such a wonderful gift to receive. And support local, support a new business, support someone who's passionate and knowledge about what they're providing.
Because you know what? If I can do it on a single income,
In this economy.
That's definitely my line for the podcast. I'm showing that I've done everything I can to make this happen. I'm still selling bits and pieces to be like, holy shit, I need to pay for $2,500 of freight for this. But it's important to me to be inclusive. And imagine you could do his and her robes, but matching, or her and her, or his and his, not being non-gender
specific. Because this is the thing. If you look at female robes, a lot of the times they are floral with bunnies or like fluffy whatevers. And the men's robes, they come in navy, occasionally grey, and that's about it.
Yes. So with the reversible robe, I've got a plain colour on one side. So I've got a botanical-ish print, which I actually didn't want to launch with, but it turns out I'm $20,000 too short to launch with my custom designs. I've designed the robes.
So let's fund this lot so that she can release the custom designs.
And then we have really cool geometric prints that are like checkers, and I'm doing a Christmas range and I'm doing a bridal range for like males and females.
Now, this is why I'm obsessed with this. And I don't often talk about my body on this podcast, but I am a very large-breasted woman and when I wear robes, they look fucking pornographic. So I am very excited at having some robe that may actually cross over
the
front. That's
the thing. And also, sometimes you get a robe that like barely crosses over your bust and then you sit down and you're like, woohoo, gash flash. There's
gash flash. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about the potential for bath towels for exactly the same reason. Because again, wraps around the top, not around the bottom, or wraps around the bottom, not around the top.
Exactly.
There's issues.
The bath sheets I mean, everyone's like, I just use bath foods. I'm like, do you not know that so many people cannot get them around their bodies? Like, it's a thing. So that's my vision. That's my goal. We're starting off small and I have big plans for At Home with Hilda.
What's the website once more?
athomewithhilda.com.au.
Get there, people. Thank you.
Sam, thank you so much for showing up and being your authentic, fabulous self, telling all these great stories and telling us about your wonderful business venture. We will definitely beg, borrow, or steal whatever we have to get you back on again, because I have so many more questions I want to ask you about some stuff.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, Tom, thank you as ever for being my co-host.
Absolute pleasure.
Zane, thank you for being a producer. And I just encourage everybody to show up as yourself, because by God, if you don't, how exhausting is it going to be pretending to be someone else forever?
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.